Let's pray and then we will continue on.
With authority or etiquette?
With both. Well, we're going to learn how to pray with etiquette. No.
Now be polite.
That's right.
I actually need to get my things in on my body. I'll go get his hat.
Yeah, Lord God, I just pray that our hearts would be stilled. We want to just be still before you. And I pray that just the things of the day would, that we would be able to just leave them aside for now, whatever they were, whatever the things were, Lord God, and that we would have ears to hear. And that we would walk with you through this. I pray that you would teach us your ways and show us. And we want to take your hand and we want to learn from you, Lord. Praise you. Thank you for the freedom that we have to get together. In your name, amen. Amen. Okay. Yeah, I guess with the praying with authority, we had finished that off, but I just want to make sure that, I don't know if anyone had any questions lingering from what we talked about last week. But even what we learned last night a little bit on Monday night, you know, our authority, like in this, our authority comes from God, and we talked about, page 91. Last night we were even talking about how, you know, as people who are translating on behalf of God, or, you know, where we match, like it all fits together, at least in my mind, where, like, it all comes from Him, it stems from Him. And it flows from the Spirit. So, I don't know, I just see it all going together. But are there any questions? Any? No? All right. So we will move on then. Basic prayer etiquette. Just so you know, with this... let's just go through it and then we'll talk as we go, actually. So, intercessory groups. True vital team prayer is the lifeline of any ministry or church. The power of prayer in a spirit of unity causes the enemy to shudder. And it really, the unity of the brethren, when we walk in unity, and so whether it's in prayer or in anything, but obviously we're supposed to be in continued prayer, it is a powerful thing. And again, you think about the body. When the body is in union and the whole body is working together as one, when there is coordination, you know, it's a powerful thing. It is therefore no doubt that the enemy would strategically target prayer groups with attempted destruction. And again, even there, not just prayer groups, but anything, he wants to bring division. But especially with prayer, because prayer is so powerful, and when God's people get together to pray. So the enemy will use the same tactics on an intercessory group that he does on the church at large. The difference and effectiveness is that the dynamics of a small group that meet together regularly and share intimate spiritual and emotional issues for prayer tends to open up in a more vulnerable way to the issues of demonic and fleshly attack. And, you know... Neat thing is, John and I were talking a few weeks ago, and John brought up, maybe a month ago, I forget timelines, but about how incredible and beautiful it is that there is such unity in among us, you know, and praise God. But you know what? We can't rest and think that, oh, since there's so much unity, these kind of things will never come up, or it will never be a temptation. No. We know it's one of the enemy's strategies to divide and to stop the effectiveness of a church, and so he's going to try that on us. And so if the more we're aware of his ways, the more we'll see it. But I just want to praise God because, yeah, there is, like last night, I'm still, you know, just so encouraged and excited about just what God was doing last night. And but not just last night. I mean, last night is just a continuation of what he has been doing in us. But just the unity in interceding and hearing the Lord, it's been great. So, but we know the enemy has plans for us, okay? So such tactics usually include power struggles, egos, rejections, insecurities, control, jealousy, religious spirits, etc. And it was neat, last night even, like Ruth shared in the group about, you know, how, like, she just shared openly about how she had listened to, you know, Heidi Baker a little bit, and just some stuff just, and she'd shut it off, and she'd start typing, you know, and thinking, okay, now I'm going to give it another chance, and just our religious stuff comes up, and I've had the same thing, and even last night, like, whether it's listening to the Lord saying to shout, you know, this stuff comes up, and so, yeah, we're all working through stuff. But these are some of the things and the tactics that the enemy will use. Leaders in particular of intercessory groups must live a servant-style life of leadership, fully submitted to the leadership of the ministry or church. There is no room for self-serving or egocentric prayer ministries in the church. The enemy will gladly take advantage of any opportunity that opens up in the area of sin, especially gossip and witchcraft prayers. And boy, I've been thinking about gossip a little bit lately, and slander. And I've been having to repent of some stuff from the past, because I see how quickly it comes up and how easily it comes off of our tongues to start talking about someone or to start talking about another group and couch it in spiritual language. And there is a certain amount of sincerity that really is looking for the good of people, but it's a mixture going on. I don't know if you struggle with that, but I have definitely struggled with that in the past. Not so much now, praise God. At least not that I can see, although maybe God's going to point out more things that I can't see right now. But it's a tactic of the enemy, okay? And not just, it says here to undermine the leadership and spiritual effectiveness of the church. So, and it's not just to undermine the leadership, but also the rest of the church, like is written here. And all those things will start undermining what God is doing. So wisdom and integrity warn against perpetuating or being involved in critical or judgmental prayer groups. That's so good. Like, yeah, we need to be wise. So I'm sorry. I'll read that over again. Sorry, I interrupted myself there. Wisdom and integrity warn against perpetuating or being involved in critical or judgmental prayer groups that operate without proper spiritual accountability and authority structure. Well-meaning but misguided groups often target powers and principalities for attack through formulated or rote prayers learned through teachings and movements that are not directed by the Spirit for their particular situation that they may not be ready nor even have been given the authority to confront and open up their group or ministry for unnecessary demonic retaliation. Discernment, wisdom, experience, maturity, submission, and a surrendered life are crucial for the protection and effectiveness of any prayer team or team prayer ministry. And again, this is, as I look at this, it's not just for prayer, it's for all things, okay? But what we can see, like, I just want us to, like, what we've been talking about, love, really, as I read this and as I look at this, it really impacts the way we need to pray. And I remember we were talking with Esther, right, a long time ago, this wonderful lady from out in British Columbia who is part of prayer teams, and a group of ladies in their church would get together on a regular basis to pray. One of the rules that they had as a group, and they would lay out these rules, is make sure you pray in such a way that you'd feel comfortable praying that way if the person you're praying for were sitting right there. You know? So yes, maybe there is a group that's struggling, you know, or a church that is maybe going off the rails a little bit, but still praying in such a way that you'd be comfortable if that person, that pastor, or that group were sitting right in front of you. Praying for your neighbor, praying in such a way that you'd feel comfortable with them sitting right there. You know, and so you think about love. Again, we've been talking about love. Love always protects. Always protects. And so even as we pray for our government and world leaders or different things happening in the world right now, you know, laws being passed. A bill was introduced today in Parliament, right, to protect the LGBTQ community. I always get those letters mixed up in that. But and especially the transgender community. And we need to be praying, because I don't know the details. They weren't released. But as we pray about these issues, to pray in such a way where if Justin Trudeau were sitting here right here with us, or with members of the community who were transgender were sitting with us, that they would be protected. It doesn't mean watering down the truth, but where there would be sincere love. Does that make sense? Guarding people. Are there any questions or comments then about what we just read?
I guess I was just curious on the critical and judgmental prayer groups.
Yeah.
Like, is that what you're explaining there? Or I don't really understand.
I think sometimes prayer groups have had a tendency, and again, the enemy will try to push us this way. It can head into the gossip area, or, oh, this pastor is doing all these things wrong, or this group of people over here, or this church over here, and they're doing this wrong and this wrong, and did you hear they did this, and did you hear they did that, and did you hear that this went on? Oh, yes, let's pray for them, right? And so it becomes gossip, actually, instead of. And I don't know exactly, like, I don't know what the rules are, because what I was going to say about, like, this section, okay, you don't have chapter and verse. So you have to apply principles from the rest of Scripture to a prayer ministry and rules of etiquette and different things. And so, again, this idea of love protects. But where the line is for some of the details that are needed, you know. But I think in our spirit, as we commune with the Spirit of God, we will know where the line is. As we pray for wisdom and soft hearts, okay? So you have a couple that you know, say for instance, and there is, but I'm not going to say names just because for online purposes and that. But mind you, we all know couples who are struggling, okay? And they need prayer, okay? Like, marriages need prayer. And we don't want to become prayer groups or prayer teams or intercessors, because prayer teams and that, but we don't want to become an intercessory group that just prayers big generic prayers. No, we want to get down and dirty. We want to get in there and fight for individuals and pray, but again, in such a way where if they were sitting with us, they would not be embarrassed, they would not feel like running out the door, they would not feel like they're being judged, that they would understand as they listen to our prayers that we are for them, we are not against them, we are for them. And we are for their marriage, you know, or a church. And this is where, yeah, the Lord has been working on me in love, you know, because I've been upset with churches and some of the things that are being taught. And but sometimes my prayers have not been in line with God's heart, because God's heart is for restoration. Now sometimes they have been. And so, like, praying, oh God, give them wisdom. Oh God, help them see your heart. You know? And this is where I pray prayers. I've said this before. I make sure that I stick to prayer. I try and stick to prayers that I would pray for myself, or I wouldn't mind others to pray for me. You know? But not being that critical and that... Does that make sense?
The other thing, just indirectly or really actually directly, she talks about it being under the leadership of the church. So is it best that prayer groups are like under an umbrella of something?
Well, I think anyone in the church is under the umbrella of someone, right? Like, or when Christians come together, mind you, I guess, when we had a group where different people from different churches were meeting,
each
individual is under leadership.
But in terms of accountability,
that's a good point.
Not fully submitted to the leadership or ministry of the church.
Yeah.
So that's what she's focusing on, or that's what this focuses on. And I guess my question is there, like, community prayer group, is that a good thing, or is that should it come under, under the umbrella of something?
Well, you got the prayer palace right out in the middle of, was it Kansas or somewhere? I forget where they do it.
Or the House of Prayer.
House of Prayer, Internet. And there's one now in Ottawa, too, I think a Canadian version.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know who's, you know, but people go there from different congregations and 24 hours.
I would say, again, because there's not biblical principle clearly laid out, I would say, no, those groups are fine. They're good. But understand, you are accountable still to the leadership of the congregation that you're in, you know, and ultimately accountable to God, but where you would guard and be responsible for that. Does that make sense? But I don't see anything in Scripture saying, because again, in Scripture, this is where we've really, like, in 2,000 years of church history, we've gone a little bit off, because in Scripture, it just talks about, like, the church of Corinth, you know, and the church of Ephesus, and the church of, you know, Philippi. So there would be a church of Niagara-on-the-Lake, but instead there's 100, you know, different churches in Niagara-on-the-Lake. And we, over the years, we have grown suspicious and, well, I'm not accountable to you. Guess what? We're accountable to all other believers in one sense, right? Because we're all part of the same body. There is only one body. But I don't see, no, only your congregation can pray together, no. So, like, a great example is the community worship night, right? Where 5-6 churches have been represented each time we've gotten together. There still is an understanding that, you know, there is a respect for the leadership. So when we meet at Cornerstone, when we meet at Orchard Park, but then also I would imagine, I don't, and this is where kind of preaching to the choir, because again, like John said before, there's such unity here. Like, we're so blessed. Like, I'm blessed at least. I feel majorly blessed. But I don't see anyone saying, well, we're in Cornerstone, I don't have any responsibility to Emmanuel Grace now because we're worshiping in Cornerstone, you know. There's none of that attitude. So, does that make sense?
I'm thinking of the psalm that says, and this deals with indignation, which is righteous anger.
Mm-hmm.
When you meditate at night on your bed, be angry, but do not sin in your anger. And there is a place for indignation, there is a place for, like, a righteous anger, like, over unjust laws, unjust bills that are passed, and how as intercessors, especially praying for the nation and for our municipal and provincial and federal leaders, I concur. I mean, obviously we have to pray in love, but I say that word carefully. Sometimes details do have to be unpacked so that we have an understanding of what we're standing in the gap for. Mm-hmm. And I suspect there is a real danger that unpacking could sound like gossip.
Yep.
Could sound like, you know, and
As you're sharing that, I what's coming to my mind is, okay, so say Kathleen Wynne was here, or say Justin Trudeau was here, and we were being led to pray for the nations, or pray for Canada, right? But before that, we actually talked to him or her about some of our concerns. We talked to Kathleen Wynne about our concerns for the education system and some of the stuff being introduced. We talked to her about concerns about our financial situation, or to Justin Trudeau about our financial situation, the budget. We talked to him about concerns about, sexuality, and that he is, like, hopefully we would have the boldness to pray, I mean, to talk to him about his planning on joining the Gay Pride Parade in Montreal, okay? Because he is planning on doing that, and he'll be the first Prime Minister to ever do so, you know? But we would talk with respect, and we would share our concern, and even a prophetic voice of, just so you know, this is what God says about nations that go down these roads, you know? And just so you know, like, I love you, but this is where this will lead us. And I want to respect you, but I need to share this in respect, in love, but I need to share it clearly. So too in our prayer life, there is a place for bringing these things towards the Lord, but not, I don't think there's a place for, oh God, because of these things, bring fire down on Ottawa and burn that city, you know, and oh me, this and this, you know. No, there's no place for that. But there still is a place for bringing these very specific concerns to God. But we plead for mercy. We plead for wisdom, right? We want to influence towards, may your kingdom come, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So, yeah, if our leaders, you know, if our governmental leaders were in this room right now, I hope we wouldn't just say, oh, you're doing a great job, and we love you as a church, and you're, you know, we just, you know, say only nice, like what would be deemed nice things or easy things. Hopefully we would have the boldness to say, and can I share some of my concerns as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus Christ? And may I actually, on his behalf, give some warnings? Right? Can I give some, and we would share them. But it would be, so I agree, there is a place for righteous indignation, but it has to be in love. And it has to be from that restorative place. Canada needs an advocate. Canada does not need someone beating the drum for God to send fire and brimstone down from heaven. You know what I mean? And God definitely doesn't need us to remind him of what Canada's doing wrong. He's asking us to stand in the gap. Does that make sense though? Mm-hmm. Right? Because, yeah, I don't want us to have nice prayers then. You know what I mean? Like, quote unquote, nice prayers. We have to get detailed, but always with that love, the heart of God in mind. I don't know if Ian wanted to. Ian, did you want to say something? Okay, no.
Stretching my nose.
I thought maybe you were trying to get my attention there.
Yeah. Then you're not at an auction. You would have.
You just bought this beautiful painting. Just like that commercial with the butter. Sorry. Go ahead, Lil.
Yeah, like there is a righteous anger when you see injustice.
Yes.
And so really, your anger isn't, it shouldn't be, I have to remember that, it shouldn't be directed to the person.
Right.
Like, so again, it's the whole, like for me, like hate the sin, but love the sinner.
Yeah.
Like, or, that even sounds kind of judgmental, but
no.
Love the person, right?
Yeah.
You know, and, but I think somehow, like when it's a non-Christian and it, or like a nation, like where it's not really, it's a little different somehow than when it's within the church.
Yeah.
Like it takes on a different flavor or,
yeah.
I don't know, I can't even think of what, it's different.
And even with the church, like
it's
I'm just.
It's callings to what you pray for.
Oh, yeah.
Totally. And even, like I want to maybe add to what I said, I want to retract a little bit or amend. Because sometimes you will be incredibly loving, and because we see this in Jesus' life, you're incredibly loving and you're coming from a place of righteousness and holiness and purity, and the person will still be offended and misunderstand. So I don't want us to only pray prayers that will take away any chance of someone being offended. No, but because I don't think that's possible. But where you come in from and you are right with God and you are guarding that, you know that you're guarding that person actually. But again, that you have to apply all the principles of scripture, because someone might wrongly say, like after they just gossiped for 10 minutes about the person, then say, let's pray. They might say, no, I was just being concerned about the person and that. Well, they, so really, that's where, again, we discern together as a body of believers. We make sure that we are humble. We make sure that we are sensitive to the Spirit's leading, and you know, and where we'll walk in humility with each other. If someone else comes and says, you know, that was a little off, you know, but sometimes our prayers, even, because again, like I've done this with. I've done this with coworkers. I've done this with others where, yeah, this lifestyle isn't good. You know, sleeping around with everyone that you meet, you know, it's not good. And it doesn't lead to a good place. I've just shared that. So, you know, you have a Kathleen Wynn come in, right? And sit down. And obviously you build relationship. It's not just, like, but like if there would be relationship built, to come to that place eventually and say, you need the Lord. And this is, these are examples of how you're missing it with Jesus, and he died for you and he loves you. At that point, she might storm out, like, or not just her, but anyone, they might storm out, or they might receive it, or they might just say, well, thanks, but no thanks. Who knows? So when you walk in the Lord's way, it's not a guarantee that everything. Some people still might accuse you of gossiping or being mean or intolerant.
I know we haven't gotten to deliverance yet, but when you're praying spiritual warfare deliverance, and you want to see Randy do with those, what is it only when the person, because sometimes they're not in a condition to ask for it or want it because they're in bondage. Like, and this is where, okay, if it's in a nice, neat corner of the sanctuary during the service where you expect to see it happen. You know, sometimes it can manifest some weird things. And even when you're praying, you know, it's very violent at times. And if you're not used to that, so that's where you're like, you're discerning, okay, you know, you see what you're dealing with, but you see the spirit behind it. Maybe you need to attack the spirit behind it,
right?
Whether they're saved or not saved sometimes, right?
Absolutely.
But I mean, is that that's not always happening? Just okay, come forward if you want prayer. That's happening walking down the street, yes. Or is that happening in controlled environments? It's not really not.
Yeah, and I think there's always obviously there's always a spiritual element going on, and even like what Lil said before, like where you hate the sin, we have to remember that people aren't our enemy. The enemy is our enemy, right? The devil is our enemy. And so, as far as what to do in the moment, like, yeah, pray God gives you wisdom. Because, yeah, it's not always that place or the timing to cast out demons, you know. And because there has to be a willingness, too. Because even I'm reminded of what Jesus said, where if you cast out a demon, but the person doesn't, you know, what happens is the demon will go around searching for a place to live, eventually come back to its host, like the original, see that it's nice and swept clean, but not filled. So the person has been set free, but hasn't accepted Christ then, hasn't been filled with the Spirit of God. Well, then the demon goes and gets seven others, and they come in and invade the person. Again, their condition is worse off. You know, so there's a timing, and God will give that wisdom. And you can see whether a person's willing. Yeah.
If you're in a congregation that wasn't raised with spiritual warfare that sort of thing, and you're having a prayer meeting, I mean, because we're just talking about now being careful how we pray. Pray as if the person was there with you, and sometimes they are there with mm-hmm. you. Should that even enter our psyche? Oh, well, this person doesn't have that background, and so we've got to be sensitive to that. Or do you just... if they're uncomfortable, so be it.
Yeah, like there is...
because if you're going to go pray for a mm-hmm. person, and you know they need some sort of deliverance or something like that, I mean, shouldn't there be a little teaching done first, or a little talking to them, or do you just...
sometimes, and that's where there's no principle laid out in Scripture, yeah. Like, okay, follow these steps. Sometimes you'll feel the Spirit lead you to do that. Other times you just pray as if they're on the same page. Other times, like, I was listening to Sean Boltz a few weeks ago and talked about he felt led to pray for this Muslim guy. You know, can I pray for you? Like, they had some conversation and the Muslim was like, Sean asked, and the Muslim was like, but I don't believe in your God. Sean's like, that's okay, I do. Like, you can borrow my faith, all right? You can borrow my faith. I just feel led to pray for you. Can I pray for you? Like, I guess, you know, and he just starts praying and some ministry happens there. Sometimes it's like that. And that's where, again, it's not a, okay, in this situation, always do this. In this situation, always do this. The only things that we always need to do is walk in love, guard the person, keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, stay humble, watch out for the stuff being thrown up in you. Like that's, you know, so whether it's ego or whether it's fear or whether it's whatever, you know, be aware of that. Be gentle, walk in the fruit of the Spirit. Those are the principles. But as far as, you know, okay, when I meet a person in this situation, I always pray this prayer. No, it's not about that.
One thing, like, about guard that person. The crazy thing is, though, even that can get off.
Oh, right? Totally.
Right? Like, so you guard so much that you don't actually address the issue.
Yeah.
And sometimes guarding means to actually
expose it. Yeah.
But, like, it's so much, I agree, like, just walking in the Spirit.
I have to.
Which kind of, like, this last line, where discernment, wisdom, experience, maturity, submission, and a surrendered life are crucial for the protection and effectiveness of any team prayer ministry. So, like, in some ways, like, you read that and you think, I can't be in a prayer team ministry. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, I guess, and I know that sometimes I have felt like that, and I still do sometimes. It's mm-hmm. like, oh, am I supposed to pray this? And I don't know, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I think, yeah, like sometimes maybe I shouldn't have prayed, but sometimes I should have prayed And I didn't pray. I think with the opposite one to that one. Anyway, but I guess my point is, like, I guess God sees the heart, right?
Yes.
And so...
Yeah. And I think it's like learning anything else. And really, as I look at this, we're, praise God, I think we're well on our way. And it's just really this encouragement to keep on, let's keep on learning what God is teaching. Let's keep on doing what we're doing, but do it more. Like, you know, and so we're being sensitive. And we'll learn to be even more sensitive. I don't see us missing anything. Like, I don't see any glaring, this is totally missing from our prayers, you know, when we pray together. It's just, like, this is really, I look at this, it's really just affirming and putting words to what we've already been taught by the Holy Spirit and how we already are operating as a group, right? So, like, last night when we were praying for that young lady, right, all of this fits perfectly into how we were praying. It fits perfectly into how we were interceding. Because there was no ego, there was no power struggle going on. There were some insecurities, you know. There were some insecurities, but even those, the way we dealt with them last night is afterwards when we kind of talked about it, we were like, yeah, I had this insecurity going on. We didn't use the word insecurity, but like, you know, I had this. Pardon me?
It was exposed.
And we, it's all, like, and that's the beauty of humility. We are willing to expose ourselves. I love it. Like, vulnerability, which is a huge part of humility, I think, is so effective in growth, not just in prayer, but in everything, when we're vulnerable with each other. And this goes whether it's a church, by the way, you can apply this. I'm going to broaden it out for a second, but I'm going to bring it back really quick. But it goes out like for marriages, for relationships, for work, for friendships. You know, when you are vulnerable with each other, you know, and you say, actually, I'm struggling with this. I'm struggling sharing this with you. I'm struggling with this thought. I'm struggling with this. Then you can work it out together. So last night, you know, Carlene shared, and you know, I'll just share a little bit, like, where she felt in the middle of it that she was supposed to just, like, she felt the Spirit of God, you felt him moan, and just, what other word did you use?
I used the words, like, that it was a guttural, wailing cry that I was supposed to give out
right
during the prayer time.
Okay, and so, and again, it's not, we talked about it last night, it wasn't like God says, I want you to give a guttural cry. It's not like Dead Poets Society where, you know, where the teacher says, give a yelp, you know, kind of thing. But what it is the Spirit of God in us is wailing and crying. Like, you could feel it, for lack of a better word, in your spirit, and it was supposed to be expressed, okay, on behalf of God, like where we are yoked with him, and no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me, and he's wailing for her, for this young lady. And Carlene shared, but I didn't do it. Okay, it's great. Like, it's not great that you didn't do it, but it's great that you're bringing it to the light, you're being vulnerable, we're sharing our insecurities. And that's how we overcome. And so, whether it's in prayer or in relationships, as we notice these things in us, like I've shared before, I struggle with control. There's that word right there. I struggle with that. I struggle with wanting to put my hands on things and control. And sometimes God's like, don't go there. Don't do that. And the more I expose it and the more I bring it out and the more I reject it and say no to it, the more I'll be set free from it. And that's how we grow, whether it's in prayer life or in ministry or anything. So I want to really say, like, as I look at this, I just want to encourage, this is happening in us already. You know, This is just giving words to what God is already doing in us. And maybe it will help us even notice it a little bit more. But I don't want us going around thinking, oh, well, because of these things, now I'm going to second guess myself. You know what? Go for it. Go for it. But let's stay humble. And if someone says, I think that was a little over the edge. Mind you, I think you'll know it's a little over the edge before someone has to tell you it's a little over the edge. Does that make sense? Any other questions about that? Because I really believe, on the whole, like, we're growing in this. Well done. Okay, individual prayer ministry then. There are many different types of and callings of the gift of intercessor. You may be a closet intercessor, which may or may not be shared with the ones for whom you are called to pray. Yeah, sometimes it's just you and God. And that's all. No one else ever knows about it. Or you may be spiritually assigned to leadership or a particular ministry where they desire and encourage regular input from prayer sessions. Know your gift and calling and seek to have it confirmed and understood by leadership. And you'll save yourself a lot of unnecessary pain or disappointment. Maybe you're on a ministry team. Oh, before I go on to the next sentence, by the way, with something like that, I've already had this a little bit at times. But again, we even with sharing it, whether it's whatever the gifting, whether it's prophetic gifting, intercessory gifting, leadership gifting, and that, we present these things to each other with humility. So that if we're open to hearing someone say, yeah, I don't quite see that yet. You know, but to have that humility is really key. Again, I already see that in us, but I just want to put that out there to make sure. I just felt like I need to put that out there. So maybe you're on a ministry team at your church and are expected to minister to individuals at services or gatherings. If so, there are several prayer protocols to keep in mind. And these are just... these are kind of... Again, there's not chapter and verse in Scripture for these, but they're safeguards. Yeah, I'll just leave it at that for now. Never minister in private one-on-one with a member of the opposite sex. And even in public settings, whenever possible, have a member of the opposite sex with you as a matter of accountability and courtesy to the one you're praying for. Okay? The Lord lives in all of us. And it's just... I made the mistake of ministering to someone of the opposite sex, like, privately. And it's not that anything happened, praise God, nothing happened, and no accusation or anything like that. But I saw that, you know what, this would have been better. I could have handled this better. And it would have saved a little bit of heartache and a little bit of... You know, and so it can just save. I'll just put it at that. Any questions or comments about that? Like, or do I need to explain it? Or
it does get I agree with you in principle, but it does get a bit difficult when you are the visiting pastor.
Yes,
and you have to drive 40 miles to see Mrs. Close. And you've got to be on your own or you don't visit.
Right.
Period.
Yeah. And so true. And this is where, I wouldn't want to make it an absolute. I see Jesus ministering to the woman at the well, you know. And I see Jesus ministering to the woman caught in adultery when everyone else had left. He remains there with her. But I know as the church matures more and more, and as we understand that actually, and this is maybe like part of what happens with that is the church has falsely believed that only a pastor can minister to someone. It's not real prayer until the pastor prays for you. It doesn't count as a visit until the pastor visits you. No, and I praise God we don't struggle with that. You know what? You all have the Spirit of God living in you. And I love seeing it starting to happen among us more and more. And we've seen it in Hope Church, where during the service, during after the service, during the worship time, you know, people are praying for each other. And just kind of like grabbing the person next to them. Or maybe you feel led to go across the room and pray. But just, hey, can we pray together? And just there. Just that prayer for each other. But it doesn't need to be me. Now, if in prayer, because sometimes there's a place where, like I've had it before, where I feel the Lord calling someone else to pray for me, but a specific person, not just anyone, but someone specific, then okay. I've had it before at Hope where young lady came up to me and said, I feel like you're supposed to pray for me. But she had grabbed a friend. So it's three of us together. You know? And so it's not just one, and because everyone else had left the sanctuary kind of thing and that. And just to be guarding. You know, we don't want to think that we'll be tempted, but we're all vulnerable in one way or another, and the enemy wants to get in there, so, yeah?
I know, like, yeah, there is not a verse that says, do not pray with the opposite sex one-on-one. However, there's the verse, do not have any, even a hint of sexual immorality.
Well, that's...
Or
not doing evil or the appearance of evil. Is that verse as well?
Okay.
I think the one you're thinking of is our reputation with outsiders. Because the hint of sexual immorality, there's no sexual immorality, not even a hint of it going on. And so that verse doesn't apply to this. Because it's not like any of that is going on. But definitely guarding against temptation, but also just the appearance even.
Right. The appearance.
And trying to stay away from that as much as possible. Mm-hmm. Okay? Just to be using wisdom. And again, we have a group of Spirit-filled believers and where we can minister. And also If you feel like, for instance, if one of the ladies feels like I'm supposed to pray for them, that's great. But let's just grab someone else to be a part of it as well. But sometimes not. Like yesterday, like on Sunday, you know, we were sitting there worshiping, and Mel was standing beside me. I just felt led to pray for her. But it's in the midst of us all, you know, but just led to pray for her. I don't want to be caught up in fear either, you know. And we can take a verse like that too far, because then all of a sudden you wouldn't have Jesus allowing a prostitute to be washing his feet. Because what did it look like to the outsider? The outsider was totally offended, the Pharisee at that point, right? And so we don't want to let it carry too far either. But just use wisdom. Does that make sense?
I tried to keep the visits short
mm-hmm.
and get to the point. But the problem was with that was when the person had something really important to share, where she wanted prayer. It wasn't until she had her hand on the doorknob to go out and realized that I was heading out to that we got down to what the visit was really about.
Yeah.
I was going out. She started to panic because She wanted prayer for this particular situation.
Yeah.
But she waited until I was nearly down the driveway.
Yeah. Sometimes that happens.
Human nature.
Yeah, and we need to be sensitive to that. Yeah, and this is where, like, again, these are suggestions given out of years of wisdom and years of ministry. But I also have a, not a check of my spirit, that's the wrong way to say it. I don't want to make rules to protect us from, like, make rules that will help us keep the rules, that will help us keep the rules, that will help us follow the character of God. Because that's exactly what the Pharisees did. They looked at the law, and so they said, well, we don't want to break this law, so we'll make these rules. And in order to keep these rules, we'll make another set of rules in order to keep those rules, which will help us keep the law. And all of a sudden, they were way down the road where eventually, well, in order to be proper and keep away from any appearance of evil, I just won't talk to women. I just won't talk to any woman, because then no one will even worry or think that I am doing anything inappropriate. Yeah. You know, and we don't want to go down that road. It really is about just let's use common sense and be aware that the enemy does want to come in and put a wedge in there.
No, I'm just saying, these days, that wouldn't help you anyway.
Yeah, that's true.
Unfortunately.
True enough. Isn't that the truth? It just... And so all of a sudden, we're only in our closet and we never come out. You know, we're only in our home and we never come out. We don't want that either. But again, wisdom. And as much as possible to stay away from any appearance of evil. Sometimes it's not possible. Sometimes people are going to say what they're going to say. Make sure you guard your hearts, but as much as possible. Okay.
She does say in here, whenever possible.
So. Yeah. Because sometimes it's just not possible. Okay?
But the evil has to be lined about what the Bible says it is, right?
Yeah.
Because if we go by our cultural backgrounds or things like that, they're, oh, that's evil. Well, no, it's not.
Yeah.
You know, that's what you think evil is.
Right.
If they see me coming out of Silversmith, there'd be people not that long ago, probably still people in church who think that's the appearance of evil.
Well, that's why we carry the fedoras and we hold them low as we come out of Silversmith. Make sure no one sees. Okay. So I think we're, you understand where I'm coming from with that. And yeah, I'm going to leave it at that. So as much as possible. Okay, so next sentence here. Never force, hit, lay hands suddenly, or usurp a person's will or comfort zone when praying for them. That's just common respect. Like, and so even if you have a prophetic act that seems a little sudden, like, and I've heard of some interesting prophetic acts, like that the Lord has laid on someone's heart to set a person free, you know, but to respect that person's will and to not just force something on them, okay? So I even learned recently about, like, laying on of hands. I find it, like I didn't even think, you know, just lay a person hands on a person, just on the shoulder and that, but, or was it the head, but found out later that no, the person wasn't comfortable with that. It's like, oh, I'm sorry. Like, I felt so bad. You know, no judgment on anyone else. Like, it's just like, oh, I didn't even think about that. And where just to respect the person you're praying for, pretty self-explanatory. Okay. Again, always come from that humble position. Always come from that respectful servant position and gentleness rather than, I've got something from the Lord for you. Kaboom! You know, it's really from that may I do that? May I pray for you? And I feel like, and this is where even the language helps so much, rather than the Lord's telling me to lay my hand on your head, or the Lord's telling me this, let's stay away from language like that. Because again, we're all learning, and I'm gonna say this about myself, and you can apply it to yourself if you want, but I'm not at a place where I'm sure, absolutely 100% sure that it's the Lord. You know, it's this, I really, really think it's the Lord, but I've been shown to be wrong already. And I don't think I'm wrong, but I know I get things wrong sometimes, even when I think I'm right. So rather than the Lord's saying this, because that really paints a person in a corner, that shoves them in a corner and automatically creates confrontation. Because then, if the person doesn't feel comfortable with it, they're all of a sudden like, well, I don't feel comfortable with it, but it's the Lord, right? Do you see how that can do? Instead, I really feel like the Lord is putting this on my heart. I'm not sure, but I just want to, I feel like this is what the Lord is saying. We're not hurting the Lord's reputation at that point. We're not denying the Holy Spirit at that point, which is an accusation that the enemy will actually bring. Oh, you don't have faith, you don't believe in God. No, I do. I just know my own limitations, and I'm learning. So I really and genuinely think this is the Lord. And so just to ask, and even if you know it's the Lord, you still ask permission, like, can I pray for you? But I would suggest phrasing it more, I think this is what the Lord is saying.
I'm laughing because we went through some paperwork today, so we could drop a whole 6-page disclaimer and have them sign it at the bottom first. That's how they've read it before you do anything.
That's right. It's like,
they quench the spirit, won't it?
Yeah, and I hope it doesn't ever get to that point. Hey, signing disclaimers as you come through the door of the church. Oh.
I have heard it said that the Lord is a gentleman, and I believe that. He does not barge in and upset and hurt. Convict, yes, but there's a way to do it that is gentlemanly.
Yeah, and respects that person's will, respects the person that you're ministering to, for sure. Yeah, yeah. Any other questions or comments on that? Okay, so yes, ask permission before touching, and always be physically sensitive as to where you lay your hands, okay? I mean, these are things, again, we know these things, but just put it out there.
Top of the head is safe enough.
But even there,
in Thailand, maybe.
Yeah, in some cultures, in Thailand, not at all. Touching the head is totally taboo in Thailand, you know. And so, but again, this coming from a humble, serving position, and it's easy enough, and it will, like the added benefit of it is that show of respect, you know, will carry so much weight. There is such power in humility. There is such, why? Because God gives his grace to the humble. Grace is the empowering presence of God, right? So coming in humility, coming with vulnerability, placing the choice in the other person's hands, you know, it's really a powerful thing. I mean, just psychologically it's powerful, but also spiritually it's powerful. Like, huge. Okay? So yeah, careful where you lay your hands. Respect the person for whom you're praying with gentleness and graciousness. Always maintain a servant's heart in ministry. And this is for them and not you. That's another thing really to remember. I know it's so basic, but like, when we're called to minister to someone, understand it's for them. I know, like, it's like, Duh. But sometimes we forget that. This is for them. So, to be praying, and to the glory of God. Any other questions or comments on that? All right. Prayer partners, always be open to the conviction of the Holy Spirit to nudge you when you begin to share too much information or share it in a wrong spirit. Yeah, we've been talking about this already in many ways, but our eyes are on Christ. And so, are you passing on the prayer request with an editorial attached? So true. And this goes for prophetic words too, where we learn to simply share what God wants shared. God doesn't need our additions, but to just share what God is sharing. There's a fine line between needed knowledge for prayer and gossip. We've already talked about this, yeah. So a good key is always to seek to apply the golden rule for prayer. What would you want people saying about you? How do you want people praying for you? You know, I'm sure there's a lot of people praying for Emmanuel Grace right now. And even, I'm serious. It's right here. And can you imagine, like, some of the prayers, I wonder. And sincere prayers, I think there's some people who are worried about us. You know? And I don't mind, like, prayers have helped them. That's great. You know, I'll take that prayer any day of the week. But I hope that they're not drawing conclusions and gossiping about us over things that they don't know anything about. I'm just sad for anyone, and we shouldn't be doing that either. And so it's just a common sense thing. Or it's a biblical sense thing, biblically common sense, where we treat others, we pray for others as we would want to be prayed for. So how would you want people to pray for you? Do likewise under the direction of the Spirit. This next one is a little bit difficult sometimes, but honor time commitments. But that's a little bit difficult because sometimes we set a time limit that God didn't want to set in the first place. But it just show honor to those you're meeting with. Now, the neat thing about Emmanuel Grace is I think we all are kind of under the understanding that, you know, if we go over time, quote unquote, and I don't know what that means exactly for us. And I don't know what overtime means.
It's getting later all the time.
Yeah, I know. But it's to still respect, and I hope everyone knows too, and this has happened a few times, and it's great. Like, someone needs to leave, just, you can leave. Like, there's no, you have to stay, Larry. But
he's telling me to leave.
Oh, wow.
That was done in Longville.
Oh. Oh boy. You can edit this out, can't
from
you?
From the beginning.
Yeah. Let's turn back to page one. But like, there is this freedom. Please don't feel obligated. But mind you, I already know that you have that freedom. You know, and there's no one judging anyone for that. But in general too, like where you honor time commitments, if someone says, hey, I've got 15 minutes, can we pray together? But I got to get somewhere. Honor that. And whether that means, okay, well, let's get right to prayer then and not take 15 minutes to talk about the problem or talk about what you want prayer for, you know, let's get to it. And stay away from the editorials and stay away from the, oh, that reminds me of when I went through it. You know what? You got 15 minutes. Go for it. You know? And so just honor the person that you're ministering to. So honor the time commitments. Don't keep your prayer partner on the phone for hours. That's a good suggestion, you know. But again, even there, I want to say, all of this is under the direction of the Holy Spirit. Like, all of it falls under the submission of the Holy Spirit. But where, as we become more and more mature, I think we start to realize, oh, what I thought was the Holy Spirit sometimes was actually just my own stuff, my own soul, my own excitement over the situation, or my own talkativeness, or even sometimes, I don't know if you fall under this, but I do sometimes, wanting to hear my own voice. I don't have that as much anymore, but like, or competitive stories. Well, oh yeah, well you had this, well I had this, and oh, yeah, oh. So, but just being sensitive, it really comes all under, let's be sensitive, first to the Spirit, then to also to the one we're praying with. Does that make sense? Okay. So don't be on the phone for hours. That's a good indication that it's become more than a prayer partner. Don't become or allow a prayer partner to become a complaining, whining, self-pity party. It's never good. And this isn't just like for prayer partners over a long period of time, but even like someone that you're asking, hey, can we pray together? And this is where relationship is so needed. Yeah, sometimes we need to call each other on that. Like, hey, just rein it in. Prayer partners are not supposed to be personal counselors. There's a difference between let's pray together and let's counsel. Nothing wrong with counseling either. But also even there, I love counseling. I love giving counsel. But I've had to say it a few times to people, actually, this is getting to a place where I really don't have the expertise to help you. I don't, like, I can be a, there's a difference between, for instance, pastoral counseling and professional counseling. And some of these things, I've actually said to a person, you know, maybe you need to find some professional counseling. I'll still be there for pastoral counseling to listen, to pray together, to support. But it's delving into some issues, whether it's mental issues or whether it's certain addictions, that I've reached my limit. Like I'm not able to help you in some of those areas. Does that make sense? So just to realize your limitations. Just because a person wants, like it's almost a place where just because a person wants you to be something, you can't be something that you're not. I don't know, that's just coming to my heart. Does that make sense?
Well, it's like going to a doctor.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, you go to a general practitioner.
Yeah.
And then if they don't know, they send you to a specialist.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, it's a good analogy. It's a good equivalent there. Okay? Challenge with grace, mercy, and understanding, but guard from forming codependent relationships. This just reminds me of something I heard today again, and it's so true. We always want to we want to be dependent on Jesus. I do not want you to depend on me in an unholy way. Yes, we should depend on each other as the body of Christ, as the body depends on, like one part of the body depends on the other part of the body. But I am not Jesus. I don't know if, well, I do know you know that. You know, I am not Jesus. So in our praying for each other, in our counseling each other, we should be spurring each other on into Jesus' arms, where he is the one we are dependent on. Okay? And what you'll find sometimes in prayer partners or in someone who's asking for prayer or even for counsel sometimes they'll want you to be someone that you're not. And there's a place where you can say, I can't be that for you. Like, you need to work that out with your mom. I can't be your mom. You know, you need to work that out with your mom or your dad or whoever. You know. Does that make sense? Okay. Any questions or comments on that? All right. You can effectively pray for someone or a situation without hearing all the details or having a personal opinion about the situation. You don't always have to understand everything to pray the heart of the Lord. It's funny, it reminds me of what Randy said. I haven't been bold enough to do this, but Randy and Darla have come to the place where it's funny. I can see Randy doing this too, where someone will ask for prayer but want to explain their situation, And say, okay, you have 15 minutes. Explain your situation in 15 minutes. Sum it up in 15 minutes, and then we'll pray. I don't need to know your whole life story. I don't need, you know. And now, I don't know. I haven't been so bold. And obviously, that's not a rule. Because we need to be gracious and sensitive. Because what I have found, too, this is just my little addendum here, and maybe it's partly the way I'm created to minister to the body as well. Yes, I've had people come where, yes, they need prayer, but you know what sometimes they need as well? It's just a listening ear. They need just someone to bounce it off of. And so you can be that listening ear, you know? And I know that Randy and Darla, like, I don't want to paint them in a bad way, too. Like, I know that. And if you're listening, love you. I know they have spent hours and hours and hours with people listening and hearing their stories and hearing their life and investing in people's lives. So it's not a cold, callous, okay, you got 15 minutes, go. And then you're watching the watch the whole time. No. But... yeah, we don't need to know every detail. God knows already. Does that make sense? Yeah.
I think the principles that you've been sharing have come out so well in Neil Anderson's Steps to Freedom, where the prayer partner is in the room hearing what's going on. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Praying, yes, but not loud, not out. The counselor is in charge of the situation, but the personal information does not need to come from the counselee.
Yeah.
Especially in the third step, which is the forgiveness. And I remember one where the person was Aboriginal, and she had over 150 persons by name, she was writing them down, who had abused her. And it came to the end where she had to forgive or forget it, and we just go our ways. Over 150. And at the end of the session, she was willing to forgive.
Mm-hmm.
We never knew the names. They were written down. Once the prayer of release had been made by the lady, she tore it up.
Yeah.
In tiny pieces.
Yeah.
Put in the garbage.
Yeah.
And that was that.
Yeah.
The sensitivity that the counselee needed to be quiet and not speak into that situation or even to tut-tut.
Yeah. It's good.
Oh, that couldn't happen to you, could it?
Yeah. That's so good. And even there, it's such a recognition of right now the person needs a listening ear. And so not to cut the... because sometimes it's like again, I don't want to make it a... like I mentioned the 15 minutes, but I almost regret mentioning that now because, yeah, sometimes I don't want it to be where you're listening and say, okay, well, that's enough. Let's pray. You know what? They actually, in that moment, they might not need, like, yes, you can be praying in your spirit for them, but again, just to let them, a prayer time isn't needed, a counseling time is needed where, or not even counseling, a listening time is needed, you know? And so this is where we don't box things and we don't box the Holy Spirit, where it is truly following the leading of the Lord. And sometimes the best thing you can do is just zip it and allow the Spirit of God to just minister and you just listen.
You try and sit there for 9 hours which was an undersized did.
Wow.
And to be quiet for me, quiet for all that time, just as a prayer partner. My job was to pray,
wow,
not to be the be all and end all.
Yeah.
Oh, that was tough.
Oh, yeah. For us, is definitely anyone with a pastoral gifting, that's tough. That's hard. But it's good. It's sometimes what's exactly what's needed. Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Okay. I just want to reread that one sentence. You don't always have to understand everything. You don't always have to know everything. And even as Ian has shared here, anyone who has maybe a little bit of pastoral gifting, and I have to remind myself, you don't always have to correct everything. That's a tough one for me. I know it's tough for both Carlene and I. It really is. So as you're praying for us, just pray into that struggle that we have sometimes. Because we... I could fix that for you, and I could speak into that right there, and I could, you know what, no, they don't need that at that point sometimes. Just be quiet and pray. Or just say, can we pray together? And sometimes that's what's needed. So you don't always have to understand, you don't always have to know everything, you don't always have to correct everything. It really is being led by the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, allowing Him to lead you to what is needed in the moment. Okay? And it really comes down to love, and love for God and love for others. A few other things. Guard marital privacy and intimate information. What I would also say with this is if you are praying with someone, having a prayer partner or someone, see, this isn't just about prayer. This is also about like confidence and counseling, and someone brings you into their confidence and asks for wisdom or guidance in that. I live by the rule where anything I know, Carlene might know. Like I have the freedom to share it with her, like, because we're one. Not that I share everything with her, but there's that. Like, I make sure people understand that. I hope they do. But I have to also know then, as a husband, if she can keep confidence. You know? And where it only remains here. Because you need to keep the confidence. You need... One of the reasons I share it with Carlene sometimes is because she has a wisdom that I don't have. She has a perspective that I don't have. Okay? And so where we can... I can hear her perspective and see her perspective in that. But we guard the person that we're praying for. So when someone comes to you, you guard that. And if you feel here's a situation, maybe like a hypothetical. Someone comes to you and asks for prayer, but they reveal some things that are overwhelming. And you have a sincere heart and you want to seek some guidance and some wisdom. You want some help, counsel. So you want to bring it to the elders of the church. What I would say is you go back to the person and ask. And you respect their choice. You guard that confidence. Okay? Now, in that, there are certain things, even legally, there are certain things that need to be divulged. You know? But on the whole, in general, you guard that confidence. And in your marriages then too, if you know your spouse cannot hold it in, cannot guard their mouth, then you don't tell your spouse. Okay? Does that make sense? I know that sounds a little bit hard, but you have to then. Because you got to guard the person. Yeah.
For me, because I have seen in different marriages that parents have kept secrets for their kids and not told their spouse, if I couldn't share everything with Forrest, I wouldn't want to know. For me, like if someone was said, like, and I have had people say to me, I want to tell you something, but you can't tell Forrest.
Yeah.
And it's like,
then don't tell me.
Because this relationship
should
be more important than any other relationship that I have on this earth.
Yeah.
Right? And so I don't know how that affects with counseling, you know?
Yeah.
But for me, it's like, now I'm putting them above my spouse.
Yeah.
And I can't do that.
Yeah. And if you...
Maybe it's different in counseling. Like, where it's a counseling situation where you can't tell your spouse, or...
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I do know what you mean, but I don't know what the rules are of government and that. But I know that, like, just in confidence, and, like, maybe this is more for our church, but also as others maybe will come for wisdom or for advice and that, keep that confidence. But as far as I'm concerned, like, the husband-wife relationship should be an absolute open relationship where there's... Now, even with that, there's wisdom where I won't share some things maybe to protect Carly. Like, I'm like, no, she doesn't need this on her shoulders. I won't put that on her, you know. But it won't be because, I can't tell her because I'm not allowed to, you know. But... back up a step, but it still is this place of guarding the person that you're praying with, guarding the person who's asking you for advice. It's not meant to be shared publicly. Too many people have been hurt because they share something privately. They share something in confidence, and all of a sudden it gets out into the public. And sometimes it's through, well, oh, we heard this. Yeah, I'll be praying for you. And then you go over here and, hey, I heard this about that person. We need to pray for them. No. We have to be a safe place. Especially as a MASH tent, right? We have to be a safe place.
Okay? We use the word facilitator, but we facilitate the end result that both parties not require so much as seeking for.
Yeah.
But we facilitate, we don't make it happen.
Yeah, we can do that. Yeah, we can do that as well. Like, I mean, I think you're talking a little bit different than what we're talking, but sometimes it'll be facilitating, but even in the facilitating, we guard what's happening.
Mm.
Yeah. Right. We guard each person. Keep confidence. Okay? All right. So never betray. Let's see here. Guard marital privacy and intimate information. That's where it started, but it led into other people as well. Never betray your most covenantal relationship by sharing information that would berate, embarrass, or unnecessarily expose your spouse. So yeah, this is talking about like when you're asking specifically for prayer for your marriage and that. Guard what you say about your spouse. Guard how you share, okay? To check your heart, always run it past God before sharing it with others. How did it feel in your spirit? And that should go all the time, by the way. Your first prayer partner, if you will, should be God, right? Like, I don't know, like, you should take it to God first. And this is where even, don't run to me first. Run to God first. But then sometimes it's like, I need prayer support by others as well. Then, yes. But say, for instance, I guess what they're talking about specifically here, what Darla's talking about specifically is when you're asking for prayer for your marriage, for instance, you guard your spouse. Guard how you talk about them. Protect them. Okay? That's what I see her saying here. Is that, am I reading that right, Cara? Mm-hmm. Okay. So again, you asked the question, how would you feel if the same information were being shared about you? Could there be a more positive or considerate way of sharing it? Were you really sharing it for prayer or to vent? For integrity's sake or just common sake, it's never wise to have male-female exclusive prayer partners, even if they are never alone together when praying. Prayer isn't a very intimate thing. And yeah, I guess I'm going into different kinds of prayer partners, but specifically a prayer partner. Prayer is such an intimate thing that we've actually, when we've talked to youth groups and that, we've said, like, don't pray with the opposite sex, like one-on-one, just because it's such an intimate thing. So.
And to add on to that, like when a couple, a youth couple are dating and they want to pray together, they're becoming very close spiritually. And whenever we become close, we want to become close in every way that God has made us, which makes it harder because we're not allowed to get together physically until we're married. But if you're praying already when you're 15 years old
together,
it's going to be much harder to keep yourself physically pure.
It actually builds intimacy.
Yeah.
It's like it's so weird because I would recommend to young couples not to pray exclusively together very much, because it builds intimacy. And so you just got to be careful with that. But with regards to with us, if you're looking for a prayer partner, someone to pray with you on a regular basis or accountability, make sure, like, ladies, pray with ladies. Find a lady that you can pray with, and guys, pray with guys. And now I see where what it's saying then too. And as you're praying together for your marriages, you know, so you have a prayer partner. Hey, can you pray for my marriage? We're going through this right now, or we're dealing with this. Guard your spouse as you're asking for prayer from your prayer partner. Okay? But yeah, it's not wise. It's never wise to have male-female exclusive prayer partners. It's too easy to even unintentionally form emotional bonds that give the enemy an advantage and a point of attack. And even with the purest of hearts and intentions, we should desire, as Scripture counsels, to abstain from all appearance of evil. Even in the dating relationships, okay, there it is, use caution when praying together. Intimate emotional and spiritual bonds can form before the intended time by well-meaning spiritual practices. This reminds me of the Songs of Solomon, where you awaken love before it so desires, before its time. Okay? It can be a really... Yeah, it can set things in motion, okay? And by the way, this is where I think a lot of pastors sometimes fall. They'll form emotional bonds. So say, for instance, in some small churches where you have a pastor and a secretary, and the secretary has traditionally been a woman, and hey, let's pray together. Let's pray for the church. Church is hurting. Let's pray. And you can form emotional bonds there, and all of a sudden the pastor is running away with the secretary.
And that's where there'd be more problems with pastor and secretary than I want to shake his stick at.
Yeah. So just to recognize we're vulnerable. Let's not believe the lie that no, that can't happen to me. Okay. Any questions or comments on that? It really is just about using wisdom in that.
I was just saying, on the other hand, praying with your spouse then is a very good thing.
Incredibly good.
Very good.
Yeah. It builds intimacy.
That's the place it's supposed to be.
Yes. It's good.
All right, I heard you.
He heard you. That's good. That's good.
I was saying it in general.
Yes. No, it's true. It's good. There are many ways to build intimacy, and prayer is one of them. for sure. Okay. So by virtue of personalities and giftings, you automatically may click better with certain people for prayer, but it's not necessary for effective prayer. This is where we don't rely on the soul. We rely on the spirit. And we've got to make sure, yeah, we've got to be careful about making decisions based on soul. Okay? So there's nothing wrong with having friendship prayer groups. Mind you, sometimes, this is just me, but sometimes you can sometimes get off track with just friendship stuff. But anyways, but you can have friendship prayer groups. It's fine. Fellowship of believers is always a good thing. But if called to a higher purpose of intercession, don't allow personal preferences to hinder spiritual purposes. Okay? Does that make sense? So we're in church. And the Spirit of God puts it on your heart that you need prayer, someone to pray for you. Now, you get along with the person sitting next to you really well. Again, in our small group, we all get along pretty well in that. And so, but maybe God calls you to that person you haven't talked to very much, or you don't have much in common, or you don't know why. It's not about that. It's about what the Spirit of God wants. Okay?
I was going to say, like, that's one thing in having a smaller church. Like, it is a natural safeguard from some things that you, I don't know, could more easily fall into when you're a larger church.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's just some of these things that, okay, that is really a bonus.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, if that's what God wants, it can be.
Who knows? It might get big.
I
doubt it. Good. Okay, we'll get through this last paragraph here, because I want to... Anyways, so... Corporate prayer meetings, yield to structure or authority established. Do they all pray out loud, individually, all at once? Do they believe? And this is especially, I guess, if we're visiting somewhere in that. Do they believe in praying in the Spirit or in tongues? Do they accept prophetic giftings? Know the theological stances of the group you are submitting to in prayer before assuming particular, quote-unquote, controversial forms of praying. It even reminds me of when we went to St. Anne's to share the church picnic with them. Wonderful time. But we are guests at that point. We are joining them, right? And so, you know, Lil, you had a tongue. And so then it doesn't just become... like we do at our church, like in our congregation, where Lil just, you know, or anyone is invited, but Lil Michelle has had a tongue or two as well, but where I have a tongue. And then, okay, you know. But even there is that structure of, I have a tongue. But in that case, we're guests, and we go to the leadership, and we submit. We don't just speak it out. Even it reminds me of, you know, you guys asked, voiced your musing, should we bring the shofars? And I think we all heard, if I'm remembering it correctly, we all kind of heard in our spirit, no. It wasn't just, nah, that wouldn't be a good idea, it would freak people out, but no, I don't think that would be respecting where they are. Now, in a few weeks, we're going to have baptism, and we're going to have probably a number of guests. Or this past week, we had some guests, and still, like, yep, have a tongue. But it's our house, right? It's our house. And not that we say to people, hey, this is our house, you deal with it. But it is our house, and where it is totally different then, okay? So when we go to worship night, which is hosted by Cornerstone and Orchard Park, we respect that. We respect, yeah, they probably wouldn't be comfortable with us blowing shofars from the back row.
Just did it in our head then.
There you go. And you know what, though? As we build relationship and as trust is built and as that continues to grow, that might happen one day. Or if we were asked to lead, it'd be a great opportunity. Like, if, hey, we hear you guys have, you know, some people who can lead worship too, you know, would you want to lead an evening like this, you know? And, okay, sure. And maybe we would introduce that. Just so you know, this is kind of a little bit of a flavor of some of our worship times in song. But we, at that point, we're the guests, or we're joining in, and others are giving leadership. So we respect that. And we recognize that, you know what, this might be controversial. So we'll just respect that. Don't use corporate prayer time to prove or grandstand your gifting. Again, just walk in humility. If you're comfortable praying out loud in public, be sensitive to those who are not. Don't hog the prayer floor. I know that this was one thing we were taught on MB Mission, because we had a group of 9 adults, and it was told to us, you know, some of you have no problem speaking right away, but some of you are a little bit more reserved, and those of us, and I was on the side who didn't mind speaking right away, and sometimes people need a little bit of silence in order to speak. And so someone might need 15 seconds of silence before they finally drum up the courage to say what is on their heart. But me as a speaker, I give them 5 seconds. I've made a rule, if there's 5 seconds of silence, then I'm going to go for it. You know what? Like it was told to us, and the way I thought of it sometimes is like, yeah, I've said a few things already, and I'll just sit back and give space for others. And again, what I love about what's going on in Emmanuel Grace is we do not mind the pregnant pauses. You know, in between songs, I love it. Like, I absolutely love it. Because what used to feel awkward, I remember when stuff like that felt really awkward, right? But now I look over and I can see Craig. Lord, which one? And it's not like you're not prepared. It's not like he hasn't done his preparation. It's really, honestly, I can see it. Like, I can see the prayer going on in you. Or maybe it's neither of these.
Or this past Sunday where it was like, it's one of these 6. And I don't think it makes a difference which one.
It's so good. But it also, and sometimes I've had it when I'm leading worship too, I know what song is next, but I still feel like there's supposed to be a pause. Or sometimes people have shared, and I know someone else is still supposed to share. All right, we're just going to wait. I'm going to give the person the opportunity, and I sometimes don't know who it is, sometimes I do, but I'm going to give the person the opportunity to work it out with the Lord, and to, whether it's drum up the courage, or to just work through some things, like maybe they're not sure of the wording yet, like to, you know, I love those pregnant pauses. Just giving space.
We've been trained.
Yeah.
So we've had a good leader. Oh. But the Holy Spirit, yeah. But like you, the Holy Spirit flowing through you guys, and just like we've had that, and then we've learned, like you know, it's kind of like that Hebrews, train your organ of sense.
Yeah.
It's in that same.
Yeah.
You know.
So good. So,
yeah.
So good. Yep.
Well, as someone who needs to drum up courage, I appreciate the pauses too. Allow some of us who don't enjoy speaking to get the gerbil going.
That's right.
I hear you, Larry.
Yeah, because Lil has such a hard time. Oh, yes. So yeah, let's be. Let's continue to be sensitive to each other. So don't hog the prayer floor, or not just prayer, but this applies to other things as well. Yield and wait for those who are less vocal or outgoing. If you're revelatory or prophetically gifted, you will, by nature of the gifting, usually have something to pray or offer the group. But maturity and consideration will sit on the information until you are sure when and if you are supposed to share it. And that's one thing with prophetic gifting is, I think every prophet, every prophetic gifting at the beginning assumes that everything they receive needs to be shared. But I think it's supposed to go to a place where assume everything you receive needs to be prayed about, and then wait on the Lord whether it's supposed to be shared or not. But that changes there. Stick to the prayer subject. This is a hard one for us. I mean, like in prayer, because I know I've been blessed by some of the rabbit trails. I really have. But I think more and more we notice when the rabbit trail actually isn't a rabbit trail. It's a trail that God wanted us to go down. But where we recognize, you know, like stick to what the Spirit is saying. Stick to the, you know, so last night, for instance, we were praying for this young lady. And I love it. We stuck to that prayer because that's what the Spirit of God was saying. There are thousands of other things we could have been praying for. But the Spirit of God wanted us to pray for her. And so you stick to that. You don't worry about the thousand of other things that you could be praying for. Okay? Also, don't ramble. Yes. Again, a lot of these, they're not, you can't point to chapter and verse. It really comes down to just courtesy and respect for each other. You know? But please, the flip side of it is I now don't want you to overanalyze everything that comes out of your mouth. Because you have to be you. I've said to our kids many, 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 many times, Tyler has to be Tyler, Andrew has to be Andrew, Jesse has to be Jesse. Jesse will always be more expressive than Andrew or Tyler. Okay? Always. I will always have more trouble rambling than you, Larry. I'll always have that, you know? But I don't want to sit there overanalyzing myself and saying, oh, now you're rambling. There's part of it that's just my personality. And I hope you have grace for me, you know? I hope. Because I'm sure, yeah, like some of the sermons are 50, 55 minutes.
Plus. Huh? Plus.
Plus?
All good, though.
I get paid by the minute. But... And I'm sure that a lot of it could be said in 20 minutes. But it's just partly the personality. And I hope that even the adding the flavor to it helps it stick in that. But I don't want to overanalyze myself. But I do want to recognize, oh Lord, I am off on a little bit of just a tangent. It's not a godly rabbit trail. It's just a tangent. And I want to recognize that. So
you know what I've noticed you're not doing as much of anymore, but it was good you were doing it at the beginning as we were learning. But, and it's good you're sensitive. You're, you know, where you're concerned that something will be taken wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to come over here and couch it here and then come over here and couch it here each time. And maybe just because we all know each other better now, we know we're not going to take it wrong. And I think you had to do that at the beginning, but I don't think, I notice you're not doing that as much anymore. If that's something you were trying to do.
It's something that the Lord convicted me of, definitely. Because I was trying to protect all angles, and just the Lord's like, you can't. Yeah. So, yay! That's good. Thanks for noticing. Appreciate that. So don't ramble. Know the agenda of the prayer group so that you don't inadvertently derail the focus. Because, yes, you might be thinking something, but it's not necessarily where everyone else is at. And so just to respect the group. And then the strength and the power of corporate prayer is in the unity of the Spirit. And really, that's the focus, where the Spirit of God is in charge of the prayer meeting. The Spirit of God is in charge of what we are doing. The Spirit of God is in charge of when we gather together. And He sets the agenda. And that's where the power... Last night, when we were focused on prayer and intercessory for this young lady, man, it was powerful, because the Holy Spirit was leading, and we were focused, like, on what the Lord was focused on. And so it was really good. Any questions or comments on that?
Is that what a fervent prayer is, when it says a fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much? Like, when you're that focused, is that part of that fervency?
I think that's part of it, definitely. Yeah. I think it's also the passion in it, and you are fully invested. Yeah. All right.